morning is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
There are three questions that you and I have to ask ourselves. They are uncomfortable questions. They're personal questions. They're necessary questions. They have to do with what we offer to God financially. The first question is, why do you put money in the offering plate as it's passed around each Sunday? The second question is, what proportion of your income do you give to God, to God's work in this place? The third question is, how do you decide or determine what proportion of your income you're going to put in that plate as it's passed around? We call it an offering plate, and that's an appropriate term. In the Old Testament, under the covenant that God made with Israel, God commanded Israel to make offerings to him, sacrifices they're alternatively called, but they're not called sacrifices for nothing, because they were sacrifices. They were things that God asked of people that meant they had to sacrifice from what they had. They had to give up some very precious, valuable things to give to him. They were to make offerings that were to forgive them of their sins. They were to make offerings that were to reestablish fellowship with God. And they were to make offerings several times a year in order to praise God, to thank God, to show their appreciation to God for all of the material blessings and all the non-material blessings that God had given them. In addition to that, people were free to give, and many people did give what was called free will offerings. And they gave those offerings to God because they loved God, and that the longer they knew God in terms of their life, and the more that they stopped and paid attention to how richly God had blessed them, the more they wanted to go over and above these required offerings. In addition to that, God commanded his people to give a tithe, or one-tenth, of all of their produce that they produced off the land, or all of their herds, or their herds of cattle or herds of sheep. These gifts were to be given to God, these sacrifices, this tenth or tithe, to remind them that God owned the total and not just tenth of everything. The tithe was significant because it added to this concept of sacrifice to God. To give up 10% of their income or their potential income was indeed a sacrifice for them. It was a sacrifice on top of these other offerings that also came out of their income one way or another. Tithing, though, is something that was not limited to the Old Covenant. We often think of it that way because it was commanded by God, and we understand very clearly from the New Testament that that old covenant was abolished when Christ established his new covenant. But tithing, as a principle, is consistent with New Testament teaching, the teachings about generous giving. One of the places that we see that impressed is in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, and in verses 1 through 12. Jesus' apostle Paul there is writing to a group of Christians in the city of Corinth. Corinth was a wealthy city in the Roman Empire. And apparently the Christians who were part of that congregation in Corinth, at least most of them, were rather wealthy as well. And so Paul writes this to these Christians. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Earlier, we heard from Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 through 12. In that text, four values come out. Verse 10 implies that the tithing strengthens my loyalty and my commitment to God. This is the only place in the Bible where God says to his people, test me in this. Every other place says that we should not test God. But here, God calls upon his people, test me in this. This is a place where God calls us to examine his faithfulness to his promises to us by way of his power and his love for us. This is where our faith in God has to take action. The cost of living seems to consume all we have, doesn't it? You and I have to take care of our families. We have housing costs. We have auto payments and maintenance costs on those. We have all kinds of membership fees. Some of us have college bills that we're still paying on and we'll be paying on for a long time. We have vacations, and we have all kinds of other expenses that go to make up where our incomes go. It's easy, very easy, and very understandable, and seems very legitimate for you and I to convince ourselves that we cannot afford to give one-tenth of our incomes to God's service, to God's work. But that is not putting God and his kingdom first. And it's not trusting God as he calls for us to do. Tithing leads me to prioritize my relationship with God above every thing and everyone else. So tithing helps me to be less materialistic and more focused on God's concerns. I will tell you very honestly, Betty and I struggle with this. It's not a matter of our income, not at all. It is a matter of our priorities economically. When we think about giving to God, the most important question that I have to ask myself is this: do I have faith in God to provide more for me after I give generously and cheerfully to Him? As I practice tithing constantly, I'm saying I'm loyal to God and He's loyal to me. I can trust Him to take care of my needs. In Malachi 3 and verse 10, God assures me as one of His people that tithing causes me to have greater financial protection and blessings. God says, "See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." That's a pretty bold, expansive, unlimited promise, isn't it? I can't imagine how richly God will bless me if I will tithe to Him. Cannot. There's no way any of us can, because God can be unlimited in how He blesses us. The New Testament impresses that this promise was never rescinded. Jesus promised in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What that really says is that our generosity, yours and mine, will be eclipsed by God's generosity to us. Jesus' follower Paul wrote about God's rich blessings in response to generous giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 9. There he wrote, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, 'He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor, His righteousness endures forever.' Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." What a tremendous assurance. And remember, Paul is not writing this out of the top of his hat. He's saying it by inspiration of God. This is a restatement, essentially, of what Jesus has said there in Luke 6:38 and of what God Himself has said back there in Malachi 3. You and I will give generously when we actually trust in God's promises to us. Paul did, and God blessed him richly. We know that because after thanking some Christians for taking care of his needs, he assured them, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If I want God's blessings, then I will tithe. Not because I have to, not because there's a command to, but because I want to. I love my Lord, I appreciate Him, I'm in praise of Him, and I want His blessings, whatever and what all they are. When I consider Matthew chapter 3, or Malachi 3 rather, and verses 8 through 9, I realize that tithing strengthens me against doubt, fear, and greed that tempt my heart. The more I trust in God to take care of me and to provide me with more than I can imagine, the less fear I have. The less fear I have about taking care of needs, the less fear I have about today and tomorrow and an unknown future. And the more I seek God's righteousness and His kingdom, the less tempted I am by greed. Tithing helps me not to be selfish and rob God. Can you imagine if you were on the receiving end of what God said to the Jews there in Malachi 3? You rob me. Rob God? I mean, even if we can't conceive what that would mean, and we can because He explains it there, can you imagine God accusing you of robbing Him? How would you feel? What would you want to do? How would you want to respond? By not giving God the whole tithe, the Jews in Malachi 3 disobeyed God, but more importantly, they robbed God of His honor, of who He is, of what He deserves, of how they needed to respond to Him. They robbed themselves, though, also of God's blessings. And by virtue of that, they robbed others of the blessing that would come through them. And as a result, everyone lost. God was not honored, they were not blessed, and they were not a source of blessing. Everyone lost because they didn't give to God what was rightfully His. Surveys conducted over the last 70 years or more in America reveal that American Christians give less than 2.5% of their income to the church. Less than one quarter of a tithe. They rob God. We need to understand, though, that God does not need our money. God does not need our money. But we need to honor God as the source of all of our blessings. We need to love God, and we need to love what He's about. We need to love His concerns. We need to love other people. We need to be involved as co-laborers in His field. We need to be in hand with Him as His children and His servants. We need to be generous, rich toward God. And we need to discipline ourselves against every kind of greed, however little it may be in our lives. Hebrews 13, verse 5 encourages us to keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is saying, I will be there always. I care about you. I care about your needs. I will provide for you if you'll put me in my kingdom first. Tithing will put discipline then into my spending. It will help me to create a God-based budget, and it will prepare me for true riches, for spiritual riches, riches that will not pass with this world, riches that are not subject to the whims of the stock market in this world. Through His promises in Malachi 3 and verse 10, God indicates that tithing enables the church to greatly increase its ministry. Imagine what would happen in this congregation if all of us gave at least 10% of our income to God's work here. Imagine that. You know, our monthly budget, or our weekly budget rather, is about, what, $3,800, $3,900? And usually the first of the month, we go over that. And the rest of the month, we go under it. But if we as a congregation, on average, are giving less than 2.5% of our income, imagine if we were giving four times that much. Imagine. We would give generously in such a way that God's work would be vastly expanded, wouldn't it? You and I give generously and joyfully to people we love. Today, so many of us are going out to lunch. We're doing something special. We're giving some kinds of gifts to our mothers. Why? Because we love them. Nobody has our arms twisted. There's no commandment that says we must do that. After all, Mother's Day is an American holiday. God didn't place it in our calendars. We do it because we love people. If we love God, shouldn't we give this way to Him generously and joyfully? To do that, I must deeply share God's desire that everyone be saved from their sins and be able to spend eternity with God. I must share God's vision that many people are just waiting for Christians to show them the way to Him. You know, Christ said, "The harvest is ready. Pray the Lord of harvest to send forth reapers. Send forth people who care about them. Send forth people to bring them to Him." I must rethink what I value. And as I do so, I must revise my budget. I must sacrifice, trusting God to bless me. And brothers and sisters, whatever our income level, as Paul has stressed, we can do so according to our income. If each of us did these things, we'd have greater faith in God, we'd have greater devotion to Him, and we'd have greater joy as God blessed us for doing this. We'd have greater emphasis on godliness. We'd have greater emphasis on sharing our faith with everyone we could. We'd be focused on God's kingdom above all else. We'd be more zealous for greater ministry both here and in the world as a whole. We would be outwardly focused as we were focused on God. King Hezekiah of Judah was known for restoring the worship of God to the Jews. He assigned priests to their duties, and he contributed generously to the burnt offerings to God. He ordered the people in Jerusalem to give the portion that God had commanded for the priests and the Levites. This was the tithe. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verses 5 through 8 tells us what followed Hezekiah's leadership and example. We read, "As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The men of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month." It took them 4 months to do that. "When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel." Wouldn't it have been wonderful and inspiring to have been there to see that outpouring of generous and joyful giving? Wouldn't you have liked to have been a part of that? Can you imagine what that looked like? Wouldn't it have been awesome to experience that praise of God and to have received blessings not just from Hezekiah, but more importantly, from God because of this, because of their hearts, and because of the action from their hearts? Wouldn't we please God greatly if we gave our tithes like that every Sunday? Wouldn't we praise God if each Sunday all of us gave so generously and so joyously? Wouldn't we have a greater bond with God and with one another if we all gave this way? Wouldn't God's work increase greatly to His glory? If we love God, we trust God. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself and my house. But we have decided, with all the challenge involved and the sacrifice involved, that we are going to test God to bless our sacrificial giving of a tithe. And I urge you to seriously look at your income and your giving and to do all within your power, with God as your helper, to join us in that. We need to remember that God loves every one of us. God loves every person. Remember, Jesus said, for God loved the world so much, the world, not just righteous people, not just Jews, not just good people like a Cornelius here and there, but the world, the sinful world, the world that was in opposition to him. Every person, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son as his sacrifice for our sins. What a great gift. He did it so that we could be forgiven. He did it so that we could be his eternal children and live with him forever. If we love God, then we will be living sacrifices to God. Will you begin a new life today as a living sacrifice to God? If we can be of help to you in any way in that regard, we urge you to come forward as we stand.